You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Let's talk to our pal Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny. Nobody smarter in town breaking down the X's and the O's than Logan. It's been too long, brother. How are you?
Yeah, I was about to say, man, it's been a minute since I've been on here, so it's really nice to catch up. Thanks for being patient with me, and it's always a pleasure being on the show.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, no worries, dude. No, you're busy, and you got a lot going on. I wanted to talk mini camp with you and some of the guys that stood out, but before we even get to that, what would you say to people who talk about minicamp not being important? You know, what's your take on, we had the big dialogue, whether it was, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, Laremy Tunsil, whoever skipping, and we got everything from people calling in saying this is the least important thing ever to there's a lot going on that's significant. Like, you were in the league, you were at everything. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so I think it depends on who you are. Like, for Logan Paulson, between 2010 and 2019, a guy who's fighting for that 53rd roster spot, you know, minicamp is the thing, man. I told people all the time I used to practice, and every single OTA, minicamp, helmets, shoulder pads, whatever we were wearing, like it was a game. I'd go full speed in a walkthrough. Like, that was just the expectation, and that's what I knew I had to do in order to kind of show that I was bought in enough to make the team. And, you know, my standard and the standard for that 53rd guy is not the same standard for Trent Williams, as an example. You know, I think in 2015, he didn't come to OTAs. I think he came to mandatory minicamp, but he didn't come to OTAs. And, like, Trent came in and looked like Trent and was still the best left tackle in football without OTA, with or without OTAs. So I think it depends on where you're at in the roster. It depends on what the coaches have to see from you. I think I've been a part of teams where guys have thought they were Trent Williams, and they weren't, and they ended up getting cut during training camp. And I've been places where guys, you know, who are Trent Williams come and get a lot of workout. Like, I think, you know, Zach was at OTAs, Bobby Wagner's at OTAs, two guys that are going to be in contention for the Hall of Fame. So whatever your process is to get you ready for week one, and the coaching staff is willing to work with you in terms of flexibility and your availability, do what you think is best, but understand that not all players in the NFL are created equal.
Logan, what did you see at minicamp, just from this offense and just, you know, maybe new wrinkles, new ideas, new designs, new things, new toys for Jaden Daniels, his evolution? Just give me a 30,000 foot view of the offense.
Yeah, you know, the offense is always fun to watch when Jaden Daniels is at the helm. It was so funny getting back to watch OTAs and obviously minicamp and just remembering how good he is at football, like how sharp the ball comes out of his hand, how decisive he is with his reads, how quick he is with his progressions. For such a young football player, I'm just always impressed with that. You know, obviously seeing Debo out there was nice, kind of just general utilization package, some work from the slot, some reverse stuff, you know, just kind of, I really think they haven't made any decisions about how they're best going to utilize them, but I think they're kind of exploring what they think that package with Debo could be and what it could look like and how it could help the offense. So, you know, I think the tight end room is always interesting. You know, Zach Ertz, like I mentioned, man, for a guy who's 34 years old and, you know, going to put a yellow jacket on here potentially, like, for him to be out there looking as good and as sharp as he did in OTAs and minicamp is always impressive and always a testament to his work ethic. So I think there's a lot of positive things. You know, minicamp OTAs are always, to me, a little bit of experimental. I think they're really important for the guys that a lot of fans don't know about. You know, the the fifth tight end, the third running back, the sixth wide receiver, whatever that is. And so those guys are guys that tend to watch during this phase. But from an offensive standpoint, when you got a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, it's always going to look pretty sharp.
Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny. What jump could Jaden Daniels make, and do you expect Jaden Daniels to make this year, year one to year two? I remember one of your coaches who meant a lot to your career, Mike Shanahan, once told me the year one to year two growth of a quarterback is the most important of any developmental phase they're ever going to have.
Yeah, and I would agree with Mike. You know, he's done it for a long time, or did it for a long time, and has coached some of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, like John Elway, for example. So I would defer to him on that. But, yeah, I think so. I think one of the things about Jaden is he was so good last year. In my opinion, there's not a lot of space for him to improve. And so because he's done such a good job and been such a good pro in year one, like the areas that I immediately go to is like, can this – and it's really an offensive – kind of identity thing, which I think could be affected by the new additions of Laremy Tunsil and Josh Connerly and moving Coleman to guard, like increasing the efficiency of that offensive line. But kind of can the intermediate passing attack, kind of that 12 to 18 yard range of the field, like open up a little for this offense? You know, they were 24th last year in explosive offensive big plays, third in plays over 50 yards. So there was this kind of like, we're not super explosive until we're crazy explosive. And so finding a level of consistency in that kind of middle of the field, mid-range target, kind of getting some explosive plays off of those easier, higher completion percentage opportunities, I think is going to be extremely important. So that's kind of an area I'd look at for him. And so what does that entail? That, you know, is getting a little bit more comfortable in the pocket, getting a little bit more patient, throwing to space at a higher level. And not that he did any of those things poorly last year, but we're talking like going from a B-plus to an A-minus, right? The margins of improvement are so small for a guy that's as talented as Jaden Daniels. But in terms of the offense, in terms of areas that he can get better, though that area specifically is something that I think is extremely critical and I'd like to see him improve on, and we'll see how that looks in training camp.
Logan Paulson with us here on Grant and Danny. What about the running game? Despite having Jaden Daniels and his electric ability with the football in his hands, usually you see what happens to Derrick Henry. Usually what happens to Saquon Barkley, right? Where you have good running threats next to them and they go for, you know, 2,000 yards or more. Wasn't the case last year with this running game. What did you see from it last year, and how do you think it improves this year? Thinking about the running back version of the running game, not the Daniels part.
Sure. You know, even with running back runs, I think they were 10th in the NFL, maybe 8th. I don't remember exactly, but in that kind of top 10 range, it wasn't bad. I think people were expecting, you know, a little bit more efficiency from that department. And I think comparing this running game to what they did in Philly and what they did in Baltimore with Derrick Henry is a little bit unfair. Like those runs that they deployed with that group were not predicated off quarterback runs necessarily. So obviously Lamar runs the football, but if you look at Derrick Henry's most efficient runs, they're out of like 22 personnel running like power, counter, trap, kind of this more traditional from the dot downhill runs. Saquon Barkley, same thing. It's not like you saw a lot of zone read or RPO from Jalen Hurts last year. Did they do it? Yeah, but was it a huge characteristic of their offense? No. So that being said, one of the things I think about this offense is when you deploy the quarterback running game the way the Commanders deployed the quarterback running game, you're going to see a little bit less efficiency from the running backs because they're going to be running into what I would characterize as less efficient looks, right? You're relying on the quarterback's ability to run to block an unblocked player in the defense. You're relying on the quarterback's ability to make a decision on an RPO defender to block that guy. If you misread it, or if it's a bad look, or if it's a weird look on the RPO, you got to hand it off and there's going to be an unblocked dude in the hole. So I think understanding kind of, yes, the quarterback run game elevated the floor of this offense tremendously. I think it's also important to understand that it's going to hurt the running back on those runs because you're not going to always maximize those looks. So that's kind of what I would point to and say, you know, this year with the improvement of the offensive line, I expect that group to be significantly better. I think they'll be able to run more of those kind of traditional everybody's blocked up type runs. I think that was a big part of their offense last year that was very successful. So that's something I'm going to keep an eye on and see if that matures and develops. And also I think as Jaden Daniels gets more comfortable in the offense, he's going to make more efficient decisions, which is crazy to say because he was so good at that last year. But I think all those things kind of factor into my belief that they're going to be much better on the football in 2025.
Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny. So let's talk O-line for a second. Specifically, I'm looking for thoughts on what you saw from Josh Connerly in a limited sample, and then also the move of Brandon Coleman, Dan Quinn saying to left guard officially. Like, what you think his game translate to looking like there?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with Josh Connerly. He's a guy that, I mean, his athleticism just pops. Like, you know, they're not doing a ton of teamwork. I think, you know, in the couple days I was there for minicamp, I think they had two team periods, which he's in on. I think you see a guy that can just move so well in space. You know, you see the athletic profile, you see the bend, you see the length. I think you see also a guy who's a young football player. You know, he's only 21 years old, so you see some kind of baby deer moments, like I'm a little tight on my set, I'm a little wide on my set, but anybody who's been around football for a long period of time knows that young offensive linemen, to me, from college to the NFL is a significantly bigger jump than, you know, high school to college, for example. Like, it just gets way more technical, guys are stronger, faster, and so kind of honing in on some of those skills are things that he's going to have to work on, you know, heading through training camp and probably through the first half of the year. But he's a guy that, man, I'm tremendously excited about, because like, when you look at guys that could be a starting right tackle in last year's draft, like, he was one of four guys that fell into that bucket. So I feel really fortunate that the Commanders were able to grab him when they did. Now, Brandon Coleman moving to guard, left guard specifically, like, when he came out, which was 2 years ago now, I had him evaluated as a guard, you know, and I think I will give Adam Peters a lot of credit in terms of looking at his length, 35-inch arms, his athleticism, you're in a 4.9 40. I think he had over a 34-inch vertical, if I'm not mistaken, which is a great metric for offensive linemen, specifically at tackle. So I love that they were able to work him in at tackle last year and kind of provide some position flexibility. But when I watched him, just from like a bend movement standpoint, I always thought he would be a good tackle, but I think he could be a great guard, much like Sam Cosmi, right? I think he kind of fell in that same bucket. Like, I think Sam Cosmi could have survived a tackle, but now you've got a guy who's borderline Pro Bowl player. I think Brandon Coleman, because of the athletic profile, because of the length, falls in that guy that could be a special guard. You've got to figure some stuff out. It's a new position, new techniques, or changes, shifts in techniques, let's say that. But I'm really excited for both those guys because I think the offensive line just got so much more athletic. And I think, you know, guys like Allegretti and Widely being in those swing backup roles, again, just makes this group so much more dynamic.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Look, your receiver position. You know McLaurin pretty much on one side. After that, Deebo Samuel, I think, is going to line up in 77,000 different places, which I'm excited about. I love that. Like, I literally can't wait for that. I'm so excited to see how it gets deployed. But your second receiver, and I put that in kind of quotation marks, because, you know, because there's other options in the pass game, be it Ertz, be it Sinnott, be it Eckler out of the backfield, Brian Robinson, Deebo Samuel, et cetera. But that receiver position opposite Terry McLaurin, how do you see it with Jalen Lane, with Gallup, with McCaffrey in year two? Like, how does that position shake out to you?
Well, really, the guy that stuck out to me probably most demonstratively was Brown, man. He looked outstanding, I thought, through OTAs and obviously the first day of minicamp. Obviously, there's the injury and we don't know his status, but he's a guy that to me started having shades of kind of a true number two kind of playmaking weapon in terms of his body type and stuff. So now, obviously, I don't know anything about the injury. Wish him speedy recovery, whether it's long, short, whatever that looks like. But another guy that had a great OTA period and minicamp period, I thought was Luke McCaffrey. Like, it was really impressive to watch him kind of develop that receiver nuance. Like, he's a good athlete for a guy of his size. Runs fast, got great change in direction metrics, great decelerator. But it doesn't always show up when he runs route, because I think he lacks some of the artistry, like the ability to accent certain routes and certain things that he does in terms of stems, indicators, what he does at the top of the route. And I think in this minicamp and OTA period, you saw him starting to do that. Now, it's not as good as, you know, Terry McLaurin, for example, or Deebo Samuel, but I think a guy that's developing that skill set is always a valuable asset to the roster. So love that. And then Gallup, I think there's times where you see the guy that he was a couple years ago, but I also felt there were times where he was kind of getting his legs back under him. You know, he didn't participate in minicamp. I think he was dealing with a hamstring injury, if I'm not mistaken. But in OTAs, like, he can move, he catches the ball well, he tracks the football well. But I think, you know, take a year off football, you got to get kind of reconditioned to the game. So I do think it's an interesting conversation outside of Terry and Deebo, like what that role looks like, especially with Brown's injury kind of calling the position into question. But I do think if you're a fan of the Commanders, an improved Luke McCaffrey is something to be excited about.
Logan, where are you on Ben Sinnott? He was drafted just outside of the top 50, and he was almost irrelevant last season. Ertz stays healthy. That's a good thing, right? I mean, he's on the field making plays. I feel like if he wasn't healthy, then Sinnott might be able to show what he's got. But how do they get both at the same time on the field and helping?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do that, because I think, you know, it's not only that he's negotiating with Zach Ertz, he's negotiating John Bates, too. And John Bates is, you know, one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL, who's not too bad catching the football. So you have, again, a guy who's going to be borderline Hall of Famer in Zach Ertz, one of the best blocking tight ends in football. It's a tough room to kind of crack, especially because of what I would, from my observation, the professionalism of that room. Like, you can tell those guys study and they prepare, and they are true pros. So I think what I would like to see is, like, obviously Ben is a physical freak. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's fast, he's strong, he's not afraid of contact. It's just, can you add a little bit of detail to the work? Like, when I'm watching film sometimes from last year, I'm kind of like, is this where you're supposed to be? Is this the spacing? Is this the depth of this route? Is this where your hat's supposed to be on this block? And that's very common for young football players, but I'd like to see that become a little bit more consistent, obviously. And again, like, I think in OTAs and minicamp, he started showing signs of that. You see the athlete, you see him able in some red zone periods during minicamp to kind of get open, create some separation. That's always really exciting. But can he continue to stack days, continue to be a pro, continue to develop the process, and continue to learn from those guys that are ahead of him? And I think if he can, like, getting them on the field will be a will be something that'll be tough to deal with, because it's like, who are you going to take off? You taking receivers off, you taking running backs off. But I think it's a good problem to have a guy of his athletic profile that can contribute at a high level to this offense.
Logan, you mentioned a few guys. You've just gone through people that that stood out to you. Give me some other names, just to general, offense, defense, anywhere that you kind of said, okay, and you kind of made a note to yourself, that guy looked pretty special, or better than you thought, or, you know, kind of stood out to you in any way.
Sure, obviously I'm offensive biased, so all my guys at the start were offensive players, which is my bad. Sorry, defense.
Don't apologize to us, Logan Paulson.
Yeah, Daron Payne, I thought, had an excellent – he looked in excellent shape. And I know Coach gave him a shout-out during his presser a couple weeks ago. But there was a play that I remembered definitively where he, like, it was a fake run to the defensive right. He ran it down. It was a boot. He ran the quarterback down. The quarterback threw the ball. Then he pursued the football, you know, 15 or 20 yards down the field. And I'm like, man, that guy looks like that freaky first-round player that, you know, we saw a couple years ago, and that he's been, but, you know, we just don't always see that level of conditioning from those interior players. So that was really cool. I mean, Kinlaw looks like an absolute freak. I mean, I don't think I only saw him do warm-ups like on the second day of OTAs, but holy cow, man, if you're going to central casting for, like, freaky football player body type, like, it's definitely him. Trey Amos, I thought, had an excellent OTA period, like, in terms of getting hands on guys, playing the football. Like, the ball skills, which were touted so heavily during the draft process, were fully on display. Love to see that. Some of the young linebackers, which I'm not saying any of these guys are going to make the team, but, like, Hamilton, Medrano, McGee, like, that group is a fun group to watch because they're young, they're fast, they're long, and it's an interesting dynamic to think about them kind of developing over the course of the season. But yeah, those were some really interesting guys. Obviously, Mike Sanderstol is a pro's pro and moving all around the formation. Another guy was Harris, Will Harris, I think is his name, from
the safety from the Saints, yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job of like, hey, I'm the nickel this play, I'm a safety this play, or I'm, you know, in the safety look, but I'm going to rotate to the post. And just the flexibility that he gave from a defensive perspective, I was incredibly impressed with. So a lot of guys on the defensive side of the football, but again, it's so early to kind of make any declarative games, statements about them, but I thought there was a lot of dudes that were very impressive.
Last one for me, you mentioned Kinlaw, who's massive. Eddie Goldman's a huge guy as well. Am I onto something when I say they go get those guys as beef, basically, and then Newton and Payne can get up the field a little bit, maybe, but the idea would be that they got to stop the run better? Because, like, Kinlaw's never rushed the quarterback well. Goldman, it's been many, many years. It seems to me like size and maybe run stuffing was a priority. Is that a thing?
I think that's for sure a thing. And I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with Kinlaw, because I think when you watch his highlights or when you watch his explosive plays, man, he's disruptive. When he gets a good bull rush going, man, I don't know how many guards in the NFL can stop that. So I think about harnessing that, putting a package out there with him, Deron, Drazon, you know, I think that could be pretty devastating. But I do think, obviously, in terms of the interior players, I think finding up someone who can play that true nose in Goldman is extremely important, because then it frees up Deron to play that three technique. And that three technique can be so disruptive in this defense. And he's that guy. And we've seen him at points when John wasn't healthy or not here or unavailable, like how disruptive he can be playing that three. So that's something I'm really excited about. And again, Goldman's addition elevates Payne here. And so, but I think to your main point, that the addition of like Dietrich Wise, the re-signing of Holmes, like these bigger defensive ends also kind of shows, hey, we need to be better here on first down. And how do we do that? We get a little bit bigger, but I think maybe more nuanced than that is you get guys who are good at stopping the run. Like Dietrich Wise is excellent at that, right? Goldman is excellent at that. And I think Deron over the course of his career has been very good at that, right? So getting guys who are going to do what they're supposed to do, funnel the football back to Bobby, take good angles, set good edges, set those second level defenders up to make good tackles, be better on first down. So you get second and longs, you get third and longs. We can bring those exotic blitz packages. We can play more man-to-man coverage on the perimeter. I think that's exactly what they're looking for. And again, it all stems from kind of getting the right types of bodies in the roles to maximize your efficiency on first down, I would say.
Logan, excellent with us as always. You have earned bone broth, mung beans, kale, and one full carrot. Well done, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, man. Yeah. It's a party tonight, babe.
Yeah, babe.
A carrot, Logan.
Full carrot.
Let's go.
That's very rare. That's never been doled out before.
Go
one
crazy
carrot
at the Paulson house. See you, buddy.
All right, boys. Thank you.
See you,
pal. Be good. There's Logan Paulson. You see why we love having mom. We always get smarter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.